Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. To make it easier for everyone, we have decided to change the schedule based on a lot of factors, but I think it'll be easier for priests and seminarians and all of you, and so we are going to have two masses on Sunday at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. So that starts next Sunday. And there'll be the Group A and Group B, so be sure to check the list on the bulletin board to see which group you are in for next week. And along with that, there'll also be a change in the times for receiving the sacrament of penance. So confessions will be heard on Sundays during one time period from 9:15 a.m. to 10 a.m. So 9:15 to 10 a.m. on Sundays for confessions. And then the other time on Saturdays will continue from 8 to 8:30 a.m. And as we always say, confessions are available for those requesting an appointment if you are unable to come during that time. Tomorrow is Labor Day, and in connection with that, it's also the day, as you know, Mondays, whoever wishes to clean the chapel and the adjoining areas, that is after the 8:30 Mass on Mondays. Now, there's no need to sign up to assist with the cleaning. But you may know this, we won't spend a lot of time on it, but for the rest of the world, the day that honors workers and employees is on May 1st. And it's not only a secular holiday, but it's also a communist, atheist holiday, May 1st. So it's called May Day, and there are a lot of pagan and secular sources to that day. But in the United States, it's the first Monday in September. But we commend Holy Mother, the Church, for about 60, 70 years ago, creating the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, and as the Church has always done, Christianizing, sanctifying that day, so it is a Catholic feast, May 1st. But on a practical level, as you know, all around the world, but in this community, the average age of priests is getting higher and higher. To tell you, the average age of the people assisting on Monday to do the cleaning is getting higher and higher. So that is a request. So we don't have that neglected, that any younger people who would like to assist us with that work would maybe change their schedule or whatever way you can to assist us in that corporal work of mercy, we could say. Now, there are several feast days this week. Wednesday, September 9th, St. Peter Claver. Thursday the 10th, St. Nicholas of Tolentino. But we want to speak about a couple of feasts. And that is the one on Tuesday, September 8th, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in human history, but especially in the Catholic Church, in the Bible, the most important persons are honored with a special day, but in the church, feast days, honoring their birthday, their death, martyrdom. For example, St. John the Baptist just last week, the beheading of St. John the Baptist. But there's also his nativity in June. Well, the same with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So even though it is not recorded in the Bible, the fact of her birth, any dates or circumstances, we know in fact that it did happen, and that there is an apocryphal text from the late 2nd century. So this is maybe 100, 125 years after our Lord ascended into heaven, but maybe just 100 years or so after Blessed Mother was assumed into heaven, and it was the Proto-Evangelium of James, St. James. Not part of sacred scripture, probably written by him, but as with many of the apocryphal works, they are not absolutely defined as everything in there that has to be believed, because they're not inspired works, but they are pious works. Some of them are complete fables or frauds, but this one has a lot of truth to it. And so, along with her birth, her parents' names of St. Anne and St. Joachim are mentioned in that work. And so it is a day to assist at Mass. And that is why, if you're able to come on that day, the 8:30 Mass on Tuesday. Now it is celebrated on that day, the 8th, because it is 9 months after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, December 8th. It's kind of interesting that some of these feast days over the centuries were on different dates, sometimes abolished in certain areas, sometimes put on another day. But in the last 200 to 300 years, what was happening in Holy Mother Church is that the feast days, such as Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary or Her Most Holy Name, which we'll speak about in a moment, Feast of the Apostles, other saints, when they fell on Sunday, they would take precedence over the Sunday. And that continued up until 1962, but even a few decades before that, because the church felt that the readings, especially the Epistle and Gospel of the Sundays, are very important. They go all the way back to St. Gregory the Great, who arranged and composed them. And so what was happening is that many of these feast days were taking precedence, and people would not hear the lessons they need to hear from Sunday to Sunday. But this day is honored. One time, one of the members of the community, maybe 10, 15 years ago, he decided to get a birthday cake when he was out doing errands and brought it back, and we had a birthday cake on the feast of Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's a day to honor her and to especially have a devotion to her. Because we can say from experience of saints, of what the church teaches us, what the popes have said, and from our own personal experience, the more a person, the more we have a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, reciting our rosary, calling upon her in need, we are greatly protected from the influences of the devil of the world, and we are far less likely to commit sin, to commit fault. Just the way it is, because this influence of the Blessed Virgin Mary from the recent apparitions of Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of La Salette, Our Lady of Fatima, when she appeared, God wanted the Blessed Virgin Mary to be front and center. In other words, after the Holy Mass, that the rosary would be the prayer that would protect Christians. And that's what we see today. So you can't go to Mass, you say your rosary, and that keeps your faith alive. So on the 12th, that's Saturday, another important day if you are able to come to Mass on that day. It's a feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. And that name Mary, or in Latin Maria, but in Aramaic it's Miriam, and it's based on the root word merer, which signifies bitterness. And there are other language sources, we could say, of her name, because in Latin, if you say the name Maria, that's the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you say the word Maria, that means the sea. So she's called Star of the Sea. Interestingly, St. Jerome suggested that the name meant lady. Maria means lady because, based on the Aramaic word mar, M-A-R, that word means Lord. So it's a feminine name or form of the word Lord. And lastly, just on the word, because we like to explain it, you know, the unguent, it's even used for incense, myrrh, which is a connected verbally to that name Maria, but it's a very bitter substance, but it's also healing and cleansing. And so she is also called by the early Christian writers the Enlightened One, or Myrrh of the Sea, or Star of the Sea, which is most favored in modern times. St. John Eudes, whose feast was just a few weeks ago, he had an unbelievable devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially under her title of her Immaculate Heart. He's the one that promoted it a few centuries ago. He had 17 different interpretations of her name. So just to tell you that, how important her name is. But here's what the Roman Martyrology says about her name. The holy name of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a day on which the inexpressible love of the Mother of God for her holy child is recalled, and the eyes of the faithful are directed to the figure of the Mother of the Redeemer, for them to invoke with devotion. So, it is all about God, the Redeemer, giving to his children his own mother, so that we are also her children. That's a reality. That is the truth. We said just a few Sundays ago, it is depicted in the shrine of Blessed Virgin Mary, her sorrowful mother. He said on the cross to St. John, "Behold your mother." at the most important moment of our Lord's life, while he's about to die, he tells St. John, "Behold your mother." And then he tells her, "Behold your son." And it is universally interpreted that means all of us are her sons and daughters. It was celebrated, this Feast of the Most Holy Name of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the 16th century in different countries in Europe. But in 1683, you may remember the story, the Polish king, John Sobieski, arrived at Vienna with his army. Before the Battle of Vienna, Sobieski placed his troops under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he won the victory because he called upon her help in a huge effort to oppose, to stop those people who were on a mission to destroy the church and kill Christians. In the following year, to celebrate the victory, Pope Innocent XI added the feast to the general Roman calendar, assigning it to the Sunday within the octave of the Nativity of Mary. And then later it was moved to the September 12th. And so, we just remind you, in any way you can, to honor her, but make a promise at this Mass that whatever you're doing in honor of her, that you're going to step up. What can you do to honor her more? And you get huge benefits. It's not, oh, I do a favor and then she does me a favor. You honor her because you're honoring God when you honor the Mother of God. You get, as the gospel says, 20, 30, 60, 100-fold in return, not only in the next life, but in this life. You're protected. So that is all we want to say about the feast. So now we'll read the epistle and the gospel. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. "Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and such like. And concerning these I warn you, as I have warned you, that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such things there is no law, and they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 to 33. "At that time Jesus said to his disciples, 'No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, Do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which flourishes today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we to put on? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you were paying attention as you heard this epistle, when St. Paul was speaking to these people of Galatia, he, as we've said previously, he had already visited and evangelized these people. But he lists a whole collection of sins. And he says, and concerning these, I warn you as I have warned you. So apparently, the people of Galatia were really big sinners because he already warned them, and now he's writing a letter warning them once again, stop doing these things. Because we are Catholics, and we have the light of faith. We know the law, but we also know the new law, the New Testament. We know that we are to have our souls dominate our bodies, not the other way around. So our intellect and our will, our spirit inside of us, is meant to control us. And in the deepest sense, in the deepest recesses of our soul, that is where the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity resides when we are in the state of grace. But God created us as a material and spiritual being, unlike any other creatures in the universe, because the angels, as you know, are pure spirits, and the animals and other creatures who are alive are purely material. Our souls are meant to rule our bodies with the help of God's grace. So when you hear this list of all these sins, immorality and witchcraft and anger, parties, we all know, you know, how dangerous these are, these sins, these occasions of sin. Because so many people live this way from day to day. We were thinking that the crisis in the world with the pandemic and everything, one thing, it has taken the students in colleges, at least for a while, taken them away from the not only weekend parties every week, but almost daily parties that they would go to. That's what we heard the last decades, that it was just to go to college was mainly just to party. And they get messed up. They commit sins. So he's warning the people of that time, but he's warning us. He's warning those words when he says, "I, concerning these sins," paraphrasing, "I warn you that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God." We can't get to heaven if we do those things. It's just the way it is, because they are so offensive to God. And it's not just those sins of immorality, of impurity, but idolatry. It abounds in today's society. Witchcraft. Do you know how common witchcraft is now? It's even by popular culture and movies and books for children and teenagers the last 20 years that witchcraft is good. You can have good witches and you can have bad witches. And it's all bad. It's all evil. That's a deception of the devil. Enmities and contentions and jealousies. Sometimes people have a true hatred of their neighbor, even Christians. They can't stand being around them. And what did the saints do? What did the saints do? What did our Lord do when he had to be around, when the saints had to be around those who hated him or attacked him? He would sometimes just absorb it silently. Sometimes he would correct them. Sometimes he would rebuke them severely. And that is, the grace of God tells us what to do from moment to moment. But unjust anger has no place in the life of a Christian, of a good Catholic. Meaning, getting angry when you have no reason to. There's no reason to be angry. Or, if you are justified, not to the degree that you become angry. Because anger in itself, there's nothing wrong with it. Did you know that? Just one of the passions in a human being. Our Lord, twice we know, became extremely angry when he saw the temple being dishonored, his house. But he's the Son of God. Of course, he knows and knew when to become angry. But also, quarrels, envies. People quarrel. And that's all they do with each other. And in fact, it becomes so commonplace that it becomes a habit. Just like people have a habit of lying, it just becomes a habit and they almost can't help it. There's always quarreling, bad mood, speaking uncharitably to the neighbor. And St. Paul is telling us don't do that. So he tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, and these are the 12 fruits he lists. And as we've said before, just to remind you, those fruits, they are the result of being in the state of grace. When you have charity in your soul, you have the Holy Trinity, the result, the product, or the fruit of that are these 12 fruits of charity, joy, peace, and patience. You have peace of soul. You're not troubled. You have joy even in the face of persecution. You have kindness and goodness that you express to your neighbor. You have long-suffering, meaning in times or circumstances of opposition or suffering, you're able to withstand it without caving in. Mildness, faith, modesty, continency, and chastity. And he lists those last three because they all have to do in various ways with purity. And with the very word chastity, to keep us pure before God. And he lists those because that was a common sin of the people of that time, and they are common sins today. As the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. Same sins 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. But we have a huge advantage of our faith, the faith, and all the benefits. And that is why we have the gospel concluding our remarks. Because Jesus is telling us, and this was not a parable, but he's telling his disciples. So he wasn't speaking to his enemies in this story, in this event. He was telling his disciples, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or will stand by the one and despise the other. He's telling us you cannot sit on the fence. Because either you're on God's side or the devil's side. That's just the way it is. Now, those who are on God's side, hopefully all of us, the devil tries to pull us to the evil side. Either directly, Satan does it, Lucifer, or his minions, his fellow evil spirits who do everything he wants them to do, or the evil agents, men, women, and children who are evil people in this world. Yes, there are evil children who do terrible things. And they're trying to pull us to the other side. The people on the other side, those who are on the way to hell, they are given, as you know, not the devil, but those living on earth, chances to get to the good side with God. He gives them an inspiration, a grace for conversion. We have seen that numerous times just here in this community, in this location, for the last 35, 40 years. Someone comes to the door, someone comes or calls us, and we give them a tour of the chapel. They're either Catholic or non-Catholic, and oh, how beautiful. Thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing me. And then they go on their way, and we never see them again. Some of them do stay. Some of them you may know. And they respond to the grace. And some of them even take classes and become Catholics and are very devoted to their fellow Catholics and very devoted to the priests and seminarians. And they continue on. And some of them are, these people are here right now in the chapel right now. But sometimes over the years, they tragically lose their way. The stories are too horrific to even say from the pulpit what happens, because they're suffering shipwreck. They stop saying the rosary. They stop coming to Mass. They don't want the blessings anymore. There's this one person several years ago who was just like this, very dedicated. But we noticed after a few years, this person, we missed Mass once in a while, or late coming to Mass, meaning not taking the effort to come on time. And then stopped coming to daily Mass. And then there was this key moment, and it was the February 1st. Or the February 3rd, when the Feast of St. Blaise, you know, we have the blessing of throats. So we bless the candles, and on Sunday, you all receive the blessing of throats. You remember that. Well, this person didn't come up to receive the blessing of throats. And I happened to be the priest that taught this person. So I went up to the person and said, "Oh, what happened? You didn't come up for the blessing. Would you like, I can do it right now," because sometimes people can't come, so we just do it after the Mass, or even during that week. You can do it within a week after that feast. And the person said, "Oh, I don't feel worthy. I just don't feel right receiving it." And I said, "Well, why?" "I can't tell you not right now. Maybe some other time." And within a couple of months, it just got worse and worse, and then they left. And it was because of bad friends who were leading the person astray. And that's why we say to be very careful. Because you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. And if there's one theme of this gospel, it is confidence in the grace of God, because our Father in heaven watches over us with tender care. If God can feed the animals and his creation, takes care of creation, the birds, the flowers, etc., how much more value are we, especially our souls? And I'm sure all of you can think of the times when you maybe didn't have enough food, or worried about clothing, or paying bills. I remember that before I entered the seminary, barely able to pay bills. I only had $3 or $5 to put a little gas in the gas tank sometimes. But I made it, and you made it, because what we all did, by the grace of God, we did what Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his justice. Meaning, seek heaven and justice, what is right, God's law. And all these things shall be given you besides. And meaning, he'll protect you, he'll protect us. And that's what's happened with our community, especially the last 6 months. We had Mass every day. And when you weren't allowed to come, you could watch online. And when things opened up a little bit, you're still coming to Mass, receiving the sacraments. That's so much more than anyone else. And God watches over you, and he does it, as we said before, through the protection and help of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The very last thing we'll say is that person I was talking about that stopped coming to church. And it's happened before because they have holy books, spiritual books, sacramentals. And they can't, in their conscience, they can't hold on to these anymore. So they come back with a box and they drop it off. I'm going to give these back to you. It happened to a family about 30 some years ago. The father led them away from coming to Mass here because of, believe it or not, the father was jealous of the direction that the priests were giving to the children, spiritual direction and practical level. And he became jealous, and so he led his family away. And one day I was in the front of the house there on a Saturday evening, and they drove up and said, here, they wouldn't even get out of the car. They just said, here, take these missiles. I said, okay. Never saw them again. So that is just a lesson. Hold on to your sacramentals and your holy books. Maybe they'll be taken by someone sometime, but as long as you have them, they are your means to sanctity, your spiritual reading. That's what it does for you. So we hope this gives you some encouragement, some warnings, but it gives you encouragement to be faithful and have devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. May God bless you.